Hello, everyone. I'm Pastor Sean, one of the pastors here at Symphony Church, and it's great to worship with you today. Especially want to welcome those of you joining us for the first time. Thank you so much for joining us. At this time, we're going to take a minute and greet those we're worshiping with. If you're not on yet, you can join us on Zoom. And once you're on, or if you're on already, let's turn on our cameras. Let's greet one another through the camera, through chat. Let's just take a minute now and say hi to one another. We are in a sermon series on love. In particular, we're talking about three of the Greek words for love. And so last week, Pastor Barry kicked things off and he talked about eros love, that is romantic love. And today we're going to talk about a different Greek word for love, and that word is phileo. Now, if you look at the word, it should look a bit familiar to you maybe, and I'm guessing most of you can figure out what this love points to. There's this little city called Philadelphia, which is known as the city of brotherly love. And so that's what phileo is. It's brotherly love. Now, when we say brotherly love, though, it's not about just siblings, of course. The way we can best understand phileo is the love exhibited between close friends. It's the love of friends. And so today, we're going to talk about friendship, the importance of friendship, and how we can grow and deepen our friendships with one another. So our passage for today is just one verse, Proverbs 18, verse 24, and it reads, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let me pray for us. Jesus, we thank you for this time that we can gather and hear from your word. And we pray as we talk about relationships, as we talk about friendships, won't you deepen our friendships? May we be able to encourage one another, bless one another as we grow in this area of love. Bless us, God. Speak through me this day. In your name we pray. Amen. So one of the most popular TV shows of all time and the most obvious TV show to talk about for this message is the TV show Friends. Now, whether you like the show or not, or have ever even seen the show, there's one thing that resonates with, I think, almost everybody about this show. I think we all like this idea of having a group of friends like this, spending hours on end together at like a coffee shop, having fun together, sharing life together, going through the drama, the ups and downs of life. It's even in the theme song of the show. I won't sing it for us, but the chorus goes like this. "I'll be there for you when the rain starts to pour. I'll be there for you like I've been there before. I'll be there for you because you're there for me too." Friends, right? Having friends. It's having people in our lives where we can be there for one another, right? Walking side by side as we go through the ups and downs of life together. Now, you might not have realized how biblical a sitcom's theme song could be, but these lyrics, at least, they resonate with what we see in this passage in Proverbs. In this verse, the writer makes a very important distinction between companions and friends. You see, anyone can have a lot of companions, or in other words, maybe acquaintances, people that you know, people in your general social circles. And it's good, it's fine to have a lot of people in your life like that. It's nothing wrong with having acquaintances. But what the writer's pointing out here is having a great number of people who know about you or who are associated with you maybe, that doesn't really help you when it comes to the hard times. What the writer of Proverbs here is saying is that many companions can't help you through the tough times, through heartache, through suffering, trials. But what he says is there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. What this proverb is suggesting is that if you have just one friend, right? Just one close friend, that friend can keep you from ruin, right? That one close friend can shield you, walk with you, help you so that you don't come to ruin, so you don't lose your way, so you don't get bogged down by the trials and the struggles of life. We just need one friend who can say to us, or to whom we can say, I'll be there for you. That's what friendship is. Friendship is having people in our lives where we can be there for one another, walking side by side with others as we go through the ups and downs of life together. But beyond even just protecting us from ruin, phileo also enriches our souls. Now, it's more than just a feeling, but with phileo, life feels richer, fuller, more joyful, more meaningful when we have it in our lives. Phileo blesses us in a way that eros, romantic love, does not. Because of our culture's emphasis or maybe obsession of eros, we often fail to recognize this. You might not know this, but even people who are married, they have a need for phileo too. This one study I found that said that 30% of married people experience loneliness of some sort. So those who are married, who have eros love, who have their soulmate in their lives, even then there's a need for phileo, for friendship in their lives. For myself personally, I don't get to see my friends very often because of life, distance, COVID now. But anytime I get to meet with one of them or even talk to one of them on the phone, it's so good for my soul, right? No matter how long it's been since we've seen each other, when we talk, it's like we're picking right back up where we last left off. And we can talk freely about frivolous things like sports or stocks, our fantasy teams, whatever, but we can so easily switch to talking about the deeper things of life, whether it's our families, our marriages, our struggles, church, our relationship with Jesus. Of course, I can talk to my wife about those things as well, but there's something that's just different about doing that with a friend. There's a camaraderie, there's an intimacy that's different and in some ways better when we're with a friend. Phileo is so good for our souls. And I think the biggest reason for that is that with our friends, we can be ourselves. With your friends, there's no pressure to be anyone but yourself. You don't have to be a specific version of you. You can just be your authentic and whole self. Now, another personal example here. For myself as a pastor, it's hard for me to not be a pastor around other people. Now, this might say more about me than anything else, but for myself, there's pressure, both healthy and unhealthy, probably. There's pressure to act like a pastor in most of the contexts that I'm in. If I talk to some of you like I talk to my friends, you might get confused. You might say, hey, are you a pastor? My wife actually says that to me sometimes, and it's very hurtful, but that's why I need friends, and this is why we all need friends. Because with my friends, I'm still a pastor, but there's no pressure to act or behave in a certain kind of way. Now, this isn't unique to pastors now, isn't it? In so many arenas of our lives, there is a pressure to look a certain way, to come off a certain way, to perform in a certain kind of way. There's a pressure to live up to some unspoken standard or expectations of the people around us. Even among our acquaintances and our peers, there is an intense pressure, especially in our day, and especially among young people. There's intense pressure to be interesting, well put together, relevant, or attractive in some way. But with our friends, with phileo, there's this freedom to just be ourselves. We can be free to show our true and our whole selves to others, including our sins even, our insecurities, our weaknesses and flaws. This freedom to be ourselves, it doesn't just feel good, it doesn't just feel free, it allows for something even deeper. Phileo allows for mutual encouragement. In Hebrews 10, there's this exhortation to consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, right? To keep on meeting together and to keep on encouraging one another. Encouraging one another. Now, this passage in Hebrews, it's about community. It's about the church as a whole, but I think we can very easily talk about friendship in this context as well. Because within a community, or when we're with close friends, especially those who are followers of Jesus, we can mutually encourage one another to love and good works. Because when we have phileo in our lives with other believers, we can find encouragement to keep on walking and drawing near to Jesus. And that encouragement is possible because we can be ourselves. Because with phileo, there's no need to hide. There's no need to pretend like we're like more spiritual or holy than we really are, because we can show one another our insecurities, our sins, our weaknesses in community or in friendship. In phileo, there's this room then to mutually encourage one another and walk with one another and grow and follow Jesus together. Phileo is so important, and it's so good for our souls. It's life-giving. It's having people who will be there for us, and we're there with them too, encouraging one another to follow Jesus. Now, of course, there's a problem, though. There's a problem with phileo. There's a problem with friendship in our day especially, because in our day, we are not very good at friendship. Friendship, especially in comparison to romantic relationships, they might seem to be a lot less complicated or take a lot less effort. Because friendships usually form within an affinity group, right? With a group of people that you have something in common with. So whether it's in a dorm that you live in, a club you've joined, in a workplace, or at church, right? That's where friendships are formed, right? If you think about it like that, with an affinity group, it sounds really easy. Find a group, make a friend. And on top of that, we live in the most well-connected society in human history. Many of us literally have thousands of friends on Facebook or Instagram. At a moment's notice, we can text one of our friends. We can see what's going on in each other's lives without even talking to each other on Instagram or Snapchat or whatever. And we can video chat anyone so easily. My son Dylan is 1.5 years old, and he often takes my phone while I'm not looking, and he video chats people. Even a toddler can connect with people today. And so with that, you would think, everyone must have a lot of friends now, right? Sadly, that just doesn't seem to be the case today. There's one recent study in 2019 that found that 61% of Americans reported feeling lonely. 61%. And this was actually 7% more than the previous year. That's a huge jump. And the numbers actually become more revealing if you look at them generationally or by age. If you just look at this chart, it shows us that the younger you are, the younger the generation, the lonelier you are likely to be. And note again, these numbers are from 2019. This is pre-COVID. I think we can just imagine what these numbers are, what they're like right now. One more study I can cite is that there's another study that found that only 25% of Americans feel satisfied by their friendships. And that number's likely to become lower and lower the younger you are. Friendship seems like it should be really easy, and yet it seems that we're not very good at it, especially the younger we are. Why is that? Well, there's two reasons that I want to point out, two reasons that I feel like we're lacking in phileo in our day. The first reason is this: we've replaced conversation with connection. I've been reading this book called Alone Together by Sherry Turkle. She's a psychologist at MIT. And one of her main points is that in the digital age, we've replaced conversation, that is like face-to-face conversation with another person, we've replaced that with connection. By connection, she means things like texts, Instagram stories, Facebook posts, those kind of things. Because when we text someone, we are connecting with them in a way. Even when we post on Instagram stories, right, and someone sees it, that's a connection of a sort, right? And that's good. That's fine. It's good to have connections with people. But the problem is, these types of connections have replaced actual and real conversation between people. And Sherry Turkle, she theorizes this, that these connections have replaced conversations because of safety and control. She points out that face-to-face conversations with another person, they are by nature not safe in comparison to connections. So an example is, if you're texting with someone and someone texts you something that you don't like, you can just ghost them, right? You can just choose to not respond. If someone texts you a question and you don't know the answer, you can pause, make sure you don't actually like read it, Just read it off your notification so they can't tell that you've read it. Look up the answer, then go to the text and respond as if you knew the answer all along, right? That's what we can do in a texting conversation. But it gets even more nuanced than that in control. Because in a text conversation, you have total control over what you say, right? You don't have to stumble on your words. You can't easily say something that doesn't make sense. Over text, you can edit yourself. You can be like, should I say that? Oh, that's pretty funny. Or, oh, no, don't say that. That's kind of lame, right? You can project the you that you want others to see. But face-to-face conversations, you can't do those things quite as easily. If you're talking to someone, sitting with someone, you might stumble on your words. You might make a weird, awkward face. You might get confused. You might not know what to say. You might say too much. Worse yet, you may say something that offends or make them not want to talk to you anymore. Face-to-face conversations are less controllable, and so they're not as safe as texting. Now, that might not sound that bad, okay? It's like, what's the big deal about that? But many psychologists and sociologists point out that this has had some major repercussions on our relationships and friendships today. Because this is what can happen in friendship in the digital age, it can end up being about your own image because you can control and maintain the image that you want others people to see, right? And this is safer because there's less fear, right? This is safer because there's less fear of seeming incompetent or insecure, unattractive, uninteresting. But underneath all of this, there's a fear of being known. Because if people really knew who we were, maybe they wouldn't want to be friends with us. We could be using technology to hide from one another, actually. And just think that even when we're in person with our friends, at least pre-COVID, how often did our hangouts look like this? I'm guessing it happened pretty often, and it's still happening. Why are we doing this, right? You don't see, there's no episodes of the TV show Friends where the six friends are hanging out in the girl's apartment, like doing this. Right? That's just not like the ideal that we have. The reason we're doing this, Sherry Turkle points this out, is that it's control. Yes, we enjoy hanging out with people around us, but we still want the option of connecting with other people or the option of escaping the present reality for an alternate reality. Some of you right now, you're on your phones while listening to this sermon. And this is control because you don't have to fully listen because maybe you don't like what you hear. No judgment though, because I can't actually see you. But the sad irony is this, is that these connections are moving us in the opposite direction of phileo. These connections are making people lonelier. Because if we can control and edit out all the parts, all the sides of ourselves that we don't want people to see, it means that no one actually knows us. If in our relationships we fear being really known, our sins, our flaws, insecurities and all, we're not moving towards the phileo that we need in life. These connections through social media, texting, etc., they seem to bring us more friends, but they may only bring us more companions. Instead of connections, we need real conversations with people, or else we can't really grow and deepen our friendships. There's another reason I want to point out that we struggle with phileo, and that is self-centeredness. This should sound familiar because last week when Pastor Barry talked about Eros, he talked about how Eros can often be marked by self-centeredness. With like the wrong heart in a romantic relationship, we can make our partners like mean to serve us. And when it comes to phileo, we can easily follow those same kind of tendencies. I once met up with someone a long time ago, and this guy was aggrieved by friendship drama. And I don't remember all the details exactly, but he said something to the effect of, I'm so hurt by my friend because he's not there for me whenever I need him. I remember that moment, I had to clarify. He said, this is a friend, right? Not like your girlfriend. No, this is a friend. Okay. And now this person then proceeded to talk about all of these instances, saying like, I was having a bad day and he wasn't there for me. I failed this exam and he wasn't there for me. I stubbed my toe. He didn't have ice. Just kidding. But that might as well have been true. Too often, our approach to friendship is self-centered like this. We expect our friends to be there for us whenever we need them to be, in whatever way we ourselves expect them to be. They should talk to us when we need them to, in the way that we need them to, in a way that makes us feel better. Friendships can so easily serve to only make us feel better or more secure or more loved. Now, we of course want and we need friends who walk with us, but friendship is meant to be side by side and mutual. If friendship is just about me, my needs, my wants and desires, there isn't that much room for love for the other person. In this model of friendship, it's just another form of hiding. It's a way to cover up our own insecurities. If we make friendship about ourselves, there's little room for our friends to actually encourage us or challenge us even to follow Jesus. And if we can't be challenged or encouraged, then maybe the people that we think are friends aren't really friends. Now, with these struggles, with these deficits in phileo, how can we grow? How can we grow into having deeper and or deepening, at least, friendships that encourage us? Have a few suggestions for us here. The first suggestion sounds very counterintuitive, but it is solitude. This is what Sherry Turkle says. The capacity to be alone is the capacity to know enough about yourself and who you are and be comfortable enough with that. That way, when you're with another person, you're not trying to make that person into somebody you need them to be in order to buttress a fragile sense of your own self. You can actually turn to a person and see them as another person and have a real relationship with them. Like I said earlier, friendships should be mutual, right? It's not just about ourselves. And what Sherry Turkle here is suggesting is that friendships can often be a place where we're instead like mitigating our own insecurities, expecting or maybe even manipulating people to be what we need them to be. As she says, in order to buttress a fragile sense of our own selves. And so the seemingly counterintuitive suggestion is this: to be a better friend, to grow deeper into phileo, we need to learn to be alone, to grow in solitude. Now, I'm not sure if Sherry Turkle is a follower of Jesus, but her exhortation to go into solitude, it makes a lot of sense within the Christian faith. Solitude is a very important spiritual discipline. But the difference between the solitude that we talk about and the solitude that she's talking about is that for a follower of Jesus, solitude isn't practiced alone. Rather, solitude is a time for us to withdraw and to be with Jesus. Solitude is it's devoting time where we quiet out all the noise, all the busyness, and especially all the people around us, and we're just alone with Jesus. The reason that solitude helps us in friendships is that if we devote ourselves to regular times of solitude with Jesus, what we're doing is we're focusing our lives, our hearts, to be in relationship with him, not depending on others for our sense of worth or value. Now, of course, we should depend upon others in our walks with Jesus, but it's a both and, right? We need relationships, we need phileo, but we also need on our own to develop a deeper relationship with Jesus. In essence, what we need to do is to develop phileo with Jesus so we can have phileo with others. And the truth of it is this: we get better at all relationships, friendship, dating, marriage, family, all relationships get better if we devote ourselves to be with Jesus first. And that's because if we have friendship with Jesus, we gain security and peace in our hearts. It may sound a little trite, but Jesus truly is the best friend you can ever have. The reality is that all relationships, including friendships, in all of those things, your friends will disappoint you sooner or later. None of us are immune to this. In all of our relationships, we will experience disappointment, rejection, falling out, drifting apart, a lot of those kind of things. And if our hope, if our expectation of our friendships is finding people who will always be there for us whenever we need them, in whatever way we want them to be there for us, we're going to experience a really deep disappointment. But Jesus, he's the ultimate example of phileo. Jesus calls us friends. He will always be there for us. He will never leave us or forsake us. We have the deepest and most unshakable security and peace that can be known. We can be comfortable with who we are because Jesus will always be there for us. No matter how our relationships turn out, no matter how sinful or weak or flawed we are, we can always go to him. And it's like that famous hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." It says, "Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer." This is the friendship that we find if we have Jesus. And if we practice solitude, a deep devotional life with him, we can experience this divine kind of phileo. And when we practice solitude with Jesus, it frees us then to love others. This is what Thomas Merton said. He's a priest from the early 1900s. He wrote, "It is in deep solitude that I find the gentleness with which I can truly love my brothers. The more solitary I am, the more affection I have for them. Solitude and silence teach me to love my brothers for what they are, not for what they say." Through solitude, we have security with Jesus, and we don't need to depend on others to give us a sense of worth. And if we have that security, it means we're more free to love. We can love our brothers and sisters for who they are, not for what they say and not for what they can do for us. So I think the most important exhortation we can give for developing or deepening our relationships is we need to practice solitude with Jesus. The second suggestion here is to build and deepen our friendships, we have to take risks. Now, companions and acquaintances are very easy to come by. It's very easy to friend someone on Facebook, work with someone on a project, watch Netflix with somebody. It's not that hard to find an affinity group. But friendship, it's hard to come by. And to gain in friendship, we have to take some risks. We might have to go deeper with someone, share deeper, in a sense, expose more of the messier or more complicated parts of our lives with other people. And one of the risks that you might need to take today is to go to someone and say, "Hey, I need a friend." This is one thing I realized myself during this pandemic, is that I needed a friend. After neglecting my friendships for years because of busyness and life, also pride, this past year, I finally mustered up the courage to reach out to some of my friends and say, "Hey, I need a friend. Can we talk? I need people to walk with me." That might be the risky thing that you need to do today. For others of you, you're around a lot of companions. Maybe you live with companions, but you've just been comfortable and you haven't taken that step of going deeper. You know, even in the church, right, we can go to family group every week, attend a microchurch, and we can give the standard Christian answer, share generic prayer requests. We can so easily still hide ourselves in community. And if we want to go deeper, we have to take a risk. Maybe talk with one or two people in your family group or microchurch or maybe your roommates and take a risk. Try to have a real face-to-face conversation in person or on Zoom. And try to do the unsafe and uncontrollable thing and put our phones away, put away distractions, and actually just focus on another person and just talk. Talk about life, share life together. Learn to love those people around you for who they are, not what they can do for you. For some of you watching this, what you need to do actually is to stop hiding and to join and commit to a family group or a microchurch, right? If you're not in Christian community, no one is encouraging you or challenging you to follow Jesus. You need real friends, close friends to keep you from ruin, from going astray. Now, I say we have to take risks because there is risk in doing this. Just because you make an effort, it doesn't mean everyone will reciprocate. It doesn't mean everyone will click with every person we encounter. We don't know how every person will respond to us. And we have to be okay with that. And again, that's why we start with solitude, right? We start with Jesus. But I want you to know it's worth it. these risks are worth taking. It's worth feeling rejection or awkwardness or whatever emotion to have phileo in our lives that enriches and encourages our souls. Finally, the last tip, the last suggestion I have for us is, let's make our friendships about Jesus. Now again, if the goal of friendship is friendship, it's actually not a good friendship. Especially for us as followers of Jesus, if our goal is to have friends, what often happens is self-centered, unhealthy friendships. We move towards those self-centered relationships that buttress our fragile sense of our own selves. But if our relationships are about Jesus, we can encourage one another to grow in Christ. As I said, it's a both and, right? We both need solitude and community. We need solitude, but we also need one another to encourage one another, to stir up one another to love and good works. And in our friendships, we need to be giving and receiving encouragement to love Jesus, to do good works. Many of you, you have good and close friends already, and that's great. But maybe today is a good day to do like an audit of our friendships. In our friendships, in our relationships, are we stirring up one another to love Jesus? Or are we just kind of comfortable right now? And maybe the best way to evaluate our friendships with one another is to ask ourselves this: are my friendships bearing fruit for Christ? I want to challenge us to think about this, because in our day, loneliness is an epidemic. And at the same time, we're in the middle of a pandemic. And so if you have a close friend, someone that you feel like that you're there for and is there for you, maybe it's time to stop being comfortable and actually begin to reach out to others who aren't experiencing phileo in their lives. Maybe like they're not experiencing it and they're in our church even. If we even have just one friendship that enriches our souls, that points us to Jesus, it should be pushing us to like grow spiritually. It should lead us to bear fruit. It should be leading us to feel so secure in Jesus and in our friendships that we can go beyond and reach out to others who might not be experiencing that. If friendships in our church, it leads to more insularity, if it leads to us to being more closed off to people outside of our friendships, that's not phileo. Our friendships should bear fruit for the kingdom of God. The church should be a factory of friendships, right? A place where mutual encouragement, life-giving, and soul-enriching friendships, where we point one another to Jesus, keeping one another from ruin, all these things should be happening. The church should be a place where every person, Christian or not, should be able to find people who will say to them, "I'll be there for you," as we all discover that Jesus is always there with us. Again, there's an epidemic of loneliness during a pandemic. And we as the body of Christ, we have this awesome, this wonderful opportunity to display Jesus' phileo, his phileo to others. And so let's strive to do that. Let's learn to display phileo to one another in this church. And with the security that we have in Jesus, let's encourage one another to grow, push one another to grow. And let's go beyond just the walls of our friendships, of our church, and let's reach out to others who might not know Jesus, and let's love them with the phileo of Christ. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you because you're the one who loves us. We thank you for the security that we can have as we are with you. And as we know your love, Jesus, we know that should transform all of our hearts. And we pray for that transformation to happen. May we be so secure in our relationship with you. May we know who we are, that it frees us to love one another and beyond. Jesus, begin your work in our hearts. May we be blessed by your friendship, by your love, and may it transform our relationships beyond as well. Let's take a moment and let's pray for our hearts. And let's pray that we will continue to turn to Jesus. It's counterintuitive, but let's start with Jesus. That's the best way that we can learn to love one another, is to know the love of Jesus first. So let's turn to him first. Just pray that you open my heart, that I will draw deeper with you. let's continue to pray and pray for ourselves, and let's pray that we won't hide within community. In community, even in the church community, we can so easily hide. Let's pray for conversations for ourselves and for our church, that we will be able to walk with one another, sharing about our weaknesses, our flaws, our sins even. And let's pray that we'll deepen our friendships, that our friendships will be so deep that we'll feel this encouragement as we walk together. Let's pray this happens in our family groups, micro churches, within our church as a whole, that we can experience the freedom of being ourselves together. Let's lift up ourselves, lift up our church in that way. Oh, Lord, we pray that you'll work. So God, may we deepen all these friendships. So God, may we not hide anymore. I pray for myself. I pray for the humility, the courage to keep on sharing about my struggles and my heart with other people. God, may we keep on just like pouring, just being able to unveil the facades and just be able to not just connect, but to converse, to really see one another face to face, loving one another, blessing one another. Jesus, we pray that you will work upon our hearts, work upon our whole church, our community, that we can love one another and just be there for one another and show one another, hey, like, you know, you're struggling, I'm here with you, I'll walk with you. I pray that we can have that kind of heart. Oh God, I pray that you let's continue to pray for our church, pray for our church community, that let's pray that our relationships will produce fruit for the kingdom of God, fruit for Christ. And let's pray that over our friendships, over our whole church, let's pray that we can love one another. And let's pray that in our church that no one will get left behind, right? And you know, that just within our church that we can be a family together, going beyond, you know, just the surface level things, but actually loving one another, not because of what we receive back, but because we just love. And let's pray that we will also go beyond. Right? We have this opportunity in this, in our nation, in this world. There's a lot of people who are lonely, who are struggling, and we have this opportunity to share the phileo love of Jesus to them. Let's pray that we'll do that. Maybe there's some names that come up, people that we can reach out to. Let's pray. Let's pray for those people. Let's pray that as our church, together we can do this. As we learn to love one another, we'll go beyond and love our neighbors, love people in this world. Let's lift up our church. Let's pray that we'll grow in this flail of love together. At this time, we're going to go into our time of offering, and like we always say, the best offering that we can give to God is an offering of obedience, an offering of ourselves. And so I just want to invite you to pull up the connection form, and we just have some suggestions there of ways that we can resolve to grow in phileo, right? If there's a specific conviction that you have, maybe a specific person that God has put in your heart, maybe to reach out to or to ask for help from, like, write that down. Let that be part of your response to what God is speaking to you, of maybe how you want to grow. We have some suggestions there as well in that section for next steps, and you can check one of those off if that's how you feel like God is leading you. And we just want to encourage you to take this time to, like, really start to follow Jesus and really build and grow in our friendships with one another. And also, as always, if you have any prayer requests, feel free to write those down. We have a section for that, and me and the other pastors, we are more than happy to pray for you throughout this week. So you can continue filling that out, but I'm just going to close this then in prayer. Jesus, again, we thank you for what a friend you are to us. and you love us in spite of our flaws and insecurities and all the ways that we go astray. You're the one who keeps us from ruin. And Lord, I pray that as we understand more and more of your love for us, may we grow in love for one another. I pray that we will have the humility to reach out to one another and ask for help, to find encouragement, and we'll have the strength and the freedom to also do the same for our friends. And Lord, I pray that our friends' circles just aren't like just circles, but they will be like open arms to the people around us, to the world around us, God. May we take this opportunity today that our world is in, and may we display the phileo love of Jesus, your love, Lord, to the world around us. Bless us, God. Use us, God. May you deepen and grow our friendships, and may we show that friendship to the world, God. We thank you, Jesus, for this love. Bless your church, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you again for joining us. I hope that you can join us for prayer. We'll see you on Zoom all together. Have a great Lord's Day, everyone.